Everyone happy?
Yeah.
Cool. Hello, welcome to episode 20 of the Tottenham Way podcast with me, Tom Hayward, Dan Kilpatrick.
Hello.
Hi, mate. You hesitated there.
Hello.
No,
mate.
Don't.
Can we start again?
Yeah. Yes, we can. Hello, welcome. Right, no more. Hello, welcome to episode 20 of the Tottenham Way podcast with me, Tom Hayward, and Dan Kilpatrick. Hi, mate.
Hi, mate.
Yes, that's fucked it totally, isn't it?
It's fine, keep going.
No, we have to start.
We never do this, though.
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast, episode 20, with me, Tom Hayward, with Dan Kilpatrick. Fuck's sake.
I've just been in the house.
I'm actually going to do all of this.
I've got cabin fever.
Right,
I mean, okay. I can do both voices if that's easier.
Shall I do the intro?
No, yeah. Swap it round. Hello, welcome to episode 20 of the Tottenham Way podcast.
Good lord.
To episode 20 of the Tottenham Way podcast with me, Tom Hayward, Dan Kilpatrick.
Hello, mate.
Hi, mate. And we've joining us this week, we've got Alex Brown. Alex, hello, mate.
All right, thanks for having me.
No worries at all. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. A bit disappointed after the weekend. It's quite interesting.
Is that Spurs related or just...
I'm disappointed outside of Spurs all the time. I was disappointed with the result against West Brom.
Okay, so it's just added on disappointment.
Yes, kind of reiterated the struggle of life.
As a fitting metaphor for Tottenham Hotspur there. Thanks very much for coming down, mate. Just before we start, I think we need to plug the advent calendar that we've been doing
every
week.
Shall I plug?
Yeah, no, actually, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're doing an advent calendar on the site. You might have seen it if you follow either me or Tom on Twitter. And we've had 7 pieces so far. That's right, isn't it?
It's me, Andy Gerlis, or Andy Gerlis, sorry if I pronounced it wrong, Will Colwell, Phil, doesn't actually give his surname, but it's single monk suds, Greg King, Harsh Mishra, and Jack Smith so far.
Yeah, and so basically the premise is, if you're not aware, one piece on a great moment or match in Spurs history for every day of Advent. We're trying to get people to write them from kind of unique, weird perspectives. Alex, you're going to do one.
Yeah,
right.
I always say which one.
Keep a secret.
But a very exciting one coming late December.
Yours is actually the Christmas Eve one.
Really?
Rightly, yeah.
So Christmas will come early.
Lots of pressure. indeed, yeah.
But, yeah, so Harsh is a member of the Spurs India Supporters Club. And he's
Wearing
a really good one on watching watching the 5-2 on New Year's Day. In his city, there's no other Spurs fans, and he sort of describes what that's like. And then he moved to I think... I want to say Delhi, but I'm not completely sure that's right. One of the bigger Indian cities, and he's joined the supporters club. It was really good. Will Colwell's written a great one on his memories of the San Siro. Today's from Phil was a poem about Sandro and the San Siro, and they're all really good. Those are just three I picked out, but yeah. Have a look on the Tottenham Way. They're all up on the homepage.
We'll be tweeting an up to date list of the first 7 that we've done. Obviously, after the first week, tomorrow this week.
I'll make a page on the website. They're all on the homepage at the moment, but I'll make a page and update it every day. And it would be good if you like them, share them. I'm begging for shares here.
Because they are really good.
This isn't about clicks for the website or whatever. It's about promoting people's work who've put a lot of time and effort into it, and about sort of sharing good things about Spurs, I
suppose. Yeah, we've got some really good ones coming up, and again, it sounds sort of big, but there are some really, really good articles coming up, and I've read a couple and proofread a few, and you know, they're all lined up. I think we're done now, aren't we? We've got the 24.
No, we've got about half, but...
They've
all been assigned.
Yeah, it's all ready to go. And from what I've read so far, it is really, really good. So, get on it, start reading it. If you've enjoyed it, then share it on Twitter, Facebook, etc. It's quite a nice little project for through December and stuff.
Well, it's like one of those things, isn't it, where you know, if you quite often go back and you'll rewatch like a great Spurs result.
Yeah.
Or I love watching video footage of the game at West Ham that we won. From fans who filmed it,
Stolteri's winner.
No, Eric Dier's winner, and seeing him celebrate, and I love watching that and thinking that was their perspective, and it kind of adds to my own. I remember watching it on a stream with my dad, and it popped up on the BBC that we'd scored before it did on the stream. So I said, "I'm going to shout to my dad, come over," and he came, and then I didn't tell him why, and then he saw it. We both celebrated, and to have that personal perspective from other people who were there, it's going to add to the rich memories that. You know.
Mm. I was in Cuba for that game.
Really?
I thought there'd be like widespread internet in Cuba. There's really not. So I had to go to like one of the biggest hotels in Havana, pay about $5 for 30 minutes of internet, and then sit there. It was like when you used to have a modem and you used to do like dial up and just try to refresh like the BBC feed. And it must have been about 10 minutes behind, and then it just popped up. When I was resigned to it being 0-0 and Norton had been sent off, and I thought, oh, we've got away with this. Suddenly it just popped up like West Ham 0, Spurs 1. I went absolutely mental.
Let's face it, the start of the Eric Dier dynasty.
Start the legend.
Introduce yourself. Yeah, seriously, the guy's great. Before we go on to West Brom, we had the FA Cup draw, which was about half an hour ago in real time. We got Leicester at home, second year in a row we've had Leicester at home.
Yeah.
I think last year was the fourth round because we had Burnley over two legs and the third. Sorry, over two games. Leicester at home, not ideal, but at the same time, if they're gunning for a title, which you may laugh, but this season is batshit crazy at the moment, and it genuinely wouldn't surprise me if they're still in the mix come like April, let alone January. So if they've got other focuses, then. I don't know, we might have a decent draw there, but any other year at home to Leicester is a decent draw, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in the context of this season, it's not... In the context of the amount of teams you can get in the FA Cup draw and the way things are going, it's not a very good draw.
No.
But as you said, I mean, the most important thing is being at home, isn't it? I Spurs can beat anyone at home.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who we get. I'd rather it was quite an easy game, given... You'd want a game that Kane can be rested for, that Dier can be rested for, that maybe one of the Belgians can be rested for, and arguably Leicester aren't that.
No, that's fair.
So it's a slightly annoying, but we could definitely win that game.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what sort of mood they'll be in or how their confidence will be in by the time the game comes around. They've got a very, very tricky month. They could be...
That's very true.
Considerably lower than they are on the table. Yeah. I mean, I know it's only one game, but Vardy hasn't scored. Is the mythical powers slowly dissipated? Mm. They've gone to Copenhagen on a night out. Are they going to be recovering from that in a few months'
January.
Time?
Yeah. That's a hell of a night out.
But we've got a relatively easy month compared to what it has been. We're only going to get better. And at home, you'd like to think we can turn over anyone. I mean, as good as Leicester are, they're a counter-attacking team, so perhaps... Play them won't suit us because we like to have a lot of possession.
Mm.
We play a lot in the other team's half, and we have struggled to break down certain teams at home. But I'd actually rather a team like Leicester, because not only are they a good team and it will be more exciting if we beat them, they're not going to come and put 10 men behind the ball. They're going to come to play, and they're going to try and get at us. And I think that actually suits us. West Ham, being a derby, they came at us. We smashed them. Man City, Man City, they tried to get at us. And we smash them, and then teams who sit behind the ball, we kind of struggle with to break down. So I think it will suit our style more. I just think, I mean, it'll obviously be a tough game, and my housemate's a Leicester fan as well, so I'm devastated. Because either way, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You don't like the FA Cup?
I hate it. I hate what's... No, that's unfair. I hate what has become of it. I don't like, you know, what I don't. I hate this thing that is peddled so much of the magic of the FA Cup and how it's forced down our throat every single January, and all it equates to is ITV following 500 Morecambe fans on a bus to Sunderland to watch them lose 2-0 and go, it's all about the day out though, isn't it? It's all about the day out. You know, they're trying to bring this, is it Ronnie Radford, whatever his name was?
The Hereford player.
Yeah, if they're trying to live off of that, and
I think that's partly in response to the fact that it has gone so far the other way, though. And now it's called
the FA
fucking Emirates. The fact that it's got a sponsor, I think, is disgusting. That's really pissed me off.
But then, is there a more fitting sponsor for the is there a more fitting name for the FA Cup than to have the FA's name attached to it? They fucked everyone's kickoff times. They fucked. They don't care about anyone. They try and fit it in because they can live off this magic for the rest of their careers.
This is probably the inner monologue that made David Bentley retire. The game's gone, sponsorships, bad social media now.
Yeah.
Exactly this. I mean, you said about, you know, following Morecambe, Sunderland. If Sunderland draw Morecambe, that means they've knocked out Arsenal. So that would, for me, be the magic of the cup. So I'd quite happy.
That's all it's about now, Arsenal.
So magical.
It used to be our cup, didn't it?
Well, what does this year end with? It's going to be a 6, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah, of course, yeah.
We're not going to win it then. We only win it when it ends with a 1. Mm. Apparently.
So far. This is a new
title. So far.
We've never gone 10 years without trophies since the 50s. We've not gone a whole decade without trophies.
Well, we're only on 8, what are we on?
7?
7 years?
It'll be 8. We're not going to win the Carling Cup or whatever it is. So we've got one chance of it being not 8 or 9.
Yeah,
you know.
No, we might win the league.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of which, we drew with West Brom. Alex, you obviously referenced it, that it was quite a disappointing. I'm going to say disappointing performance. I don't think it was a horrendous result when you consider that, you know, the last game that they had at home was beating Arsenal. Hilarious as it was, but it was very difficult conditions. We clearly weren't at the races. And I think Match of the Day picked that up as well, didn't they? They said how we didn't look like the Tottenham that beat West Ham, the Tottenham that turned over City and, you know, turned up against Arsenal, etc. We didn't look like that Tottenham. So is it a good thing that an off day... first of all, do you think it was an off day? And second of all, do you think that it's good that on an off day we still get a draw out of going away to, you know, a team like Tony Pulis's West Brom? Which is not an easy point to go and get. It's a horrendous game. It's always going to be a horrendous game.
Yeah.
Is it a good point? Or,
well, The Guardian in their write-up said, you know, it showed just how far this Tottenham side have come and how resilient they were. And how steely Tottenham are now, and, you know, it showed that we're real contenders. But I actually thought we were very, very poor.
Mm.
I thought we were sloppy, and we looked like we expected to turn up and win. And Arsenal lost there, but Arsenal were much the better team, and they missed a penalty, which they should have scored. I mean, I was on the tube checking my Wi-Fi on that, and I got, it said penalty, and then I went to the next stop, and I didn't have Wi-Fi.
Right.
And so then it's only when we got to the next stop that it connected and said it missed. So I was really upset thinking, oh, Arsenal got a penalty, it's fine.
But isn't that the point? We weren't the better team, but we still came away with a point. Whereas Arsenal weren't and they lost. The point that the Guardian's making, I'm saying, and that Tom's made, that this new... I mean, and Harry Kane made it today, or yesterday, his quotes were in the paper today, saying that Spurs would have lost that game a couple of years ago. And it's hard to disagree with that.
Mm.
It is hard to disagree with that. I mean, we lost at home to them last season. We did beat them away.
We really turned them over.
I thought it was an off day. And it does show that Pochettino has made Spurs into this really hard-to-beat team. Which I think we all know now that our priority... We'll come on to this later, but it does seem to be that our priority seems to be to make sure we don't lose games. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're overly cautious, but... That's our kind of objective, to make sure
Mourinho has won titles on.
Yeah,
specifically.
Exactly.
Just for example.
It was an off day. we weren't at the races, but as you said, I think the reaction, certainly on Spurs Twitter, the people I follow, was kind of overly negative, I thought. I thought it was quite a decent point. I mean, we got properly poolist. They were kicking the shit out of us in the second half.
Yeah.
The first half, they were all over us. I mean, they were pressing the way we press against West Brom. We had no time on the ball. There were lots of big challenges. There was a hell of a lot of long balls to Rondon. It was really windy. It was a really, really hard game. And again, Kane said this today. He said it was a battle rather than a kind of football match.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're going to get from Pulis.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that, and I think it shows, definitely shows our resilience, but does it not concern you that this midfield, which has been so lauded, quite rightfully, this season, couldn't assert itself? I know the conditions were terrible, and I know West Brom, it wasn't a full stadium by any stretch of the imagination, but there was quite a good atmosphere. Does it not worry you that the second half we were just defending, and we didn't really create that much?
If I may just go in on that point as well, they had Johnny Evans in a central midfield position as well.
Yeah.
And part of me is disappointed that we couldn't get more than one goal against a team that contained Johnny Evans as central defensive midfield and Jonas Olsen, Craig Dawson, Chris Brunt and some other West Brom prick in that line. Yeah. I am disappointed by that, but I think that was... Johnny Evans is not in the same way as Eric Dier a footballing defender, and so I think Pulis was quite open with his hands with his selection there of just,
I don't think Johnny Evans is that bad.
I don't think he's not a midfielder.
No,
he's not a central mid, which is where he played. What I'm saying is that I think that he was basically setting up the thing is
when Mourinho or a big manager does something like that, put Zouma in midfield or put someone in midfield, it's lauded as a masterstroke. And when Pulis does it, we're complaining that...
But Mourinho didn't win a cup.
And Pulis did it to get a valuable Premier League point. I mean, that's cup final for Pulis.
Yeah.
Getting a point. Well, the West Brom... It's disappointing because West Brom are going to be... We all know they're going to be like 17th to 9th at very best. They're a bottom half team. And you want to be beating them. And to go back to Alex's point, I was a bit disappointed with Dier and Ali. I thought, the goal aside, well, the first 15 minutes aside from Ali, they were both really disappointing.
Alex, you said that you thought that we turned up thinking that we were just going to win. I think, as an extension of that, I think after Ali's goal, we really, really switched off. Because I agree, Dan, I think the first 15 minutes, we were really good. Weren't magnificent, and we weren't peppering them by any stretch, but certainly thought that we were a better team and we were attacking with more sort of impetus. Ali's goal was actually really good.
it was so well taken.
Incredibly
useful ball. Yeah. To guide under. Didn't like the celebration. That was like, it reminded me of Andy Johnson when he used to do the A-team celebration.
Is that what he did?
No, he did something like that though. I didn't know what it was.
So it makes an A.
Yeah, you can't just say you guys both did the gesture.
I'm explaining it. No, isn't it like an upside down V sign and then you put the finger across to make an A?
But why?
He wasn't doing that though. It was something different.
I think he was doing that.
I thought he was.
Yeah, I thought he was. But I'm not sure why.
I don't know if he got booed or I don't know. Who did he play for? Milton Keynes?
They're not rivals.
Yeah, but West Brom, you take what you can get, didn't you? I
hate West Brom. Deli, if you're listening, feel free to slide into my DMs. I'd like that. That celebration needs to be justified.
Yeah. Give us an excuse. Or give us a reason, Deli. But it was a hell of a ball as well from Adebayo.
It was a great ball.
In really difficult conditions. Because he has done that all season.
And a kind of irony that we scored from a kind of long ball. And West Brom's goal was like 15 passes, a great ball in, and a really good header.
I was going to ask about that. Do you think that, you know, leave aside the West Brom irony, but do you think that is that sort of direct approach is a sign of Poch or, you know, Spurs being able to shape things up and you know, do a more direct side of play? Because I think if it had been to Harry Kane, then we all might be talking about it a little bit more, but it was a run from midfield from Ali. It's a very different goal. I don't think we've scored that sort of goal for a long time, really. I can't think of any other goal that's come from front to back in that sort of manner.
They asked Poch and Dele Alli if that was something they talked about, that type of ball
over the top
after the game. And they said, yeah, you know, definitely something we talked about, like in the conditions and playing here, you know, we know that we can run in behind. And he said, you know, I know that if I run in behind, Alderweireld's got a fantastic ball and he'll put it on my foot.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a good shout.
So they said,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they both said that it was something that they had talked about beforehand. Mm. They were quite vague, obviously, because you don't want to say, oh, you know, we've planned to do the long ball.
Pochettino is always quite vague.
Yeah,
very, very proud. We've done well.
Yeah.
They were all heroes.
Tough match.
Happy to...
He did call it, he said that he felt like it was 2 points dropped. Actually, I'm not sure if it was him
he did specifically
said that in the dressing room we feel like it's 2 points dropped. And the impression that I get from that is he's obviously disappointed not to win the game, but he's obviously looked at it and thought, I'm not disappointed to lose the game because we wasted a bunch of chances. He's disappointed to lose the game because we're Tottenham and they're West Brom.
Yeah,
that's what I would get from that. And therefore, I see a lot of similarities to the Anderlecht game a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, when we lost away. And he really ripped into the team a little bit. You know, it became a thing of almost, you can't just turn up and expect to win, and especially if you go a goal up. And I think it was a very similar performance. We went that goal up after kind of really controlling the opening period, and then we lost our way, conceded a goal, and perhaps unlucky not to concede a second, like Anderlecht did actually go on and do. So do you see this as a similar wake-up call? Do you think that Poch is going to use this as leverage, rather than consider what we might say as a good point, or me and you, Dan, might say as a good point? Would he use it as leverage to say, you know what, guys, you think you might be Billy Big Bollocks at the moment?
I don't actually think Pochettino's that kind of manager. I know he came out after the end of the game and said, and bollocked the team publicly. But then we also had a discussion on the pod after that game about whether that might have been a show for the media, and maybe in the dressing room he'd said, this is a game where you can take your foot off the pedal. I feel like Pochettino is such a long-term manager in everything he does, in the way he thinks. I don't think personally that he reacts to games and changes things on the basis of that. I think his philosophy is kind of, it's sort of flatline. It's always there, sort of dictating everything that he does. And I think he'll just tell the players to keep doing what they're doing. Does that make sense? Because I think we've got two games
coming up that we'll obviously move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a young team, and the way you put it, it's an off day. I think that's exactly what it was. It was a flat performance, and it happens. I don't think he'll be holding it up as a lesson to the players. But yeah, there's a case that maybe they didn't know what to expect from Pulis's team, but I think Pochettino did. The fact that he started Lamela over Son says to me that he knew it was going to be a battle, because Lamela is much more likely to get stuck in.
A bit too much.
Yeah, well, arguably, but he's more of a fighter than Son, I think it's fair to say.
I was going to ask a question about Son, because I think that Saturday was another example of Son coming into a team off the bench and struggling, and I think it's happened. I would say this is the third time that it's happened, and two of them have unfortunately been against Arsenal. One of them was when Lamela was booked in the league game, and Son came on, and he struggles. I feel like he really struggles to get up to speed with the game. I feel like if he starts a game, he can almost feel his way into it in a very similar way to how our whole team does under Pochettino. We aren't a fast starting team, and I think that Son is very much in that vein. And I felt like he came on against West Brom, and I felt like he really struggled again. His touch was very, very poor again in difficult conditions, and you know, you can only do as good as the 10 men around you, sure, but I felt like he can be an impact sub, but he has struggled to do that off the bench.
I think it's difficult to say that with that. It's West Brom, it was very, very windy, conditions are difficult. He was coming in when the team as a whole wasn't playing very well.
Yeah.
Kane was having lots of touches. Eriksen wasn't really pulling the strings. We weren't really asserting ourselves. And as a winger, you need the striker to be making the right runs. You need the midfield to be... I mean, he's a winger, so you need the midfield to be playing you in, to have that one-on-one. Yeah. And the game was being primarily played in the air, and it was very physical, and that doesn't quite suit him. I don't know how fair, and you know, his first season Premier League, I know the Bundesliga would probably be the closest to the Premier League, but I don't think it'd be fair to hold him, or even just to question that he struggles coming on. I mean, Lamella came on against Chelsea and made a more obvious impact. I thought that he played Sun in a couple of times and created those chances, but that was when we were playing ball to feet in, you know, nice sun.
I think quick point about subs in general. I think that might be a problem under Pochettino, full stop. Mm. After Dembele scored against Anderlecht, I think I read that he was the first sub to score for Tottenham in X amount of time, in like a hell of a long time. I need to look that up. I mean, can either of you think of a sub that's come on and changed the game with a couple of goals for Spurs under Pochettino? It just doesn't happen, does it? I mean, partly that was because last season he just didn't have the options on the bench. We had fucking Paulinho and Soldado.
Last time it happened was Kane against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, long.
And which was essentially Kane's breakthrough. He started every game since.
Definitely.
It just doesn't seem to happen under Pochettino. And I mean, in Jai, maybe against City, he was a sub, wasn't he? And he came on and got an assist, but you could argue that the game was maybe wrapped up by that point. And I think we're looking for Onoma and Njai. Perhaps Son or Lamella, whichever's on the bench, to be those impact subs and to change games, because we haven't really had that under Pochettino at all so far. Mm-hmm. We haven't had someone who is on the bench in case it's tight on the hour mark, and then it's like, right, go and do your thing.
Well, it's interesting to say that, because the player I think who has done that this season would be against Sunderland would be Andros Townsend, who came on, and he is that player. You know, he's not what we want him to be yet, and he might not be, but he offers something different. He's direct, he's fast, and he'll have a go. And you don't really get that from Lamella. And he's, you know, he's different to the other players on the pitch, but even then, when he came on against...
Do you see him coming back into the fold? Because there was
there was a piece in the Newcastle Chronicle about an hour and a half ago. Might have been in the pub already, saying that they're going to get him, Newcastle to get him on loan in January.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's just a rumor at this point, and it's very premature because it's still a good three weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the things that Charles Richards wrote in his column for the Tottenham Way this week was, doesn't it make perfect sense to do a Townsend Berahino swap deal in January? Mm. Both of them have designs on the England squad, albeit quite, in Berahino's case, quite kind of an outside chance of getting in. Townsend's got quite a decent chance of getting in, given that Hodgson really likes him. Neither of them are playing first team football. Spurs need a striker, West Brom need a winger. Just make it happen. It doesn't look like that's the way it's going to go. It looks like he's going to go to Sunderland or Newcastle, but that would seem to make sense.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think Poch did say that he's happy with Townsend's contribution since he's come back in his
he's not on the bench,
he's not getting on the bench against West Brom when Onoma is, and it's not. It's,
and Shadley's about to come back, Pritchard isn't far away, he's just going to fall further and further down.
We've had some ICK in.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what his name is, sorry, but he did.
Billy T?
No, it's not Billy T, but we did see Billy T in the pub earlier.
I didn't gut it.
You didn't, you were about 10 minutes away. We were having a pint downstairs pre-pod, and Alex just sort of like nudged me and just went, I think Billy T's next to us. And I was like, well, it's obviously not, because he's a Twitter celebrity, let's face it.
The bars and all the world.
Why would you be drinking in ours? And it actually was. And he's an incredibly lovely bloke. And it was quite funny to speak to him even for 10 minutes. He's going to the Spurs show tonight, apparently. With
Rival Pod.
Treater. Going to watch Birkinshaw talk.
We should get a live audience set up.
We should get an ex-Spurs manager on. Oh, wait. We did that. Yeah. It's pretty old news, but whatever. Yeah. What are we doing? Monaco.
Should we have a break so I can get a drink?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we'll have a break and we'll come back. We'll do a Monaco and Newcastle preview, and then we'll do listener questions as well.
Welcome back to the Tottenham Way podcast. We were talking before about the West Brom game, which Dan didn't find too disappointing, but Alex did. And that's what this game is all about, opinion. I never know how to get this second half started, so I just go with a really cheesy line, and that's what I've gone with there, sorry.
It works, mate.
Thanks, mate. Right, so we've got Monaco on Thursday. We've already qualified for the last 32 or 64. Or 124. I know it's 32, isn't it? Yeah, the last 32 of the Europa League. Already qualified, but is it right if we get a point?
We get a point and finish top.
We finish top. Monaco need a win to go through, I believe. You know, there's only one question, which is exactly the same question as we asked before every single Europa League game. But surely this time we play what you might call a weakened team. You know, we're at home, Monaco, good aside as they are, we have to be resting players for the bread and butter, don't we? I'm going to ask two questions. Do you think Poch will, and do you think Poch should?
I think everyone's going to be monumentally pissed off.
Because you reckon Kane, Alderweireld,
I reckon Kane's starting. I don't think Poch Jr. is going to relent. He's treating this competition as seriously as he's treating the Premier League, almost.
He played a son against Carabao.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I've got a horrible feeling. Okay, to answer the second question first, I would love to see Kane, Dyer, Alderweireld, Eriksen rested.
Yeah.
Maybe Ali too, particularly if Benton Ebert and Mason are both there. I would love to see that those five or six given a break, because I think they need it, and particularly Eriksen and Kane have looked, they've been flagging in recent weeks. But I do think there's a decent chance most of them are going to play. I feel like Pochettino's said from the outset that he's taking this competition as seriously as the Premier League, and I'm kind of taking him at his word at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, Son played against Carabao, and Son needs minutes.
I
copied that from the running.
Sorry, I totally agree. I really think that how rusty he's looked, and he has been good, but I think he has looked rusty, and I'd really like to get him some minutes, even if it was 75 and bring him off from Jai for the last 20-25 minutes.
Just to finish up, I mean, I think we have rotated in the Europa League so far, but I think those rotations, I almost don't feel like Pochettino sees it as weakening the team. Like, I think Walker doesn't play because he's had such bad injury problems since Pochettino's been in the club that he's the guy now that we try not to play in two or three games a week because he could potentially crack, and then if he does, we'll start with Trippier. And I think Davis is given minutes because it's one position where he's arguably not that far behind Rose.
Yeah.
It's quite a close call.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't read too much into the fullbacks being changed every week. I feel like it's likely to be a strong team, but I hope Tom Carroll plays. I hope Bentaleb plays if he's fit.
Yeah.
I hope Mason plays if he's fit. I would love Townsend to play, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I also think it's beneficial to play some of the players who haven't been getting a chance. Because if you think last year, the problem was, especially after we lost Chelsea, is we've been playing the same 11, because they were the 11 players trusted, every week, and we looked tired in those final few games, and we flagged.
Oh, we looked at points from March, I thought.
Well,
we were absolutely knackered. As soon as that Chelsea adrenaline seeped out, and the real killer was the Man U 3-0.
Yeah,
I thought we looked tired after the cup final.
Yeah.
But now there's players who haven't been getting in the team because they've been injured, who will think, I was in this team. Ryan Mason, Bentaleb, there'll be players who will be thinking, I can get into this team. Chadley, they'll be thinking, I've been away, I've got to prove myself now, and there's competition. I can play this game and I'll be bang up for it. I've proved myself in the Premier League. Chadley has scored goals against Arsenal. He's scored goals against Chelsea. Mason kicked Wilshere in the face. They don't need to do that much to adhere themselves to the Tottenham faithful. And they've shown that not only Poch likes them, but they'll deliver. So I think I think it'll be good to give some of those players a chance, because otherwise, if he plays our strongest team again, even some of the new signings, like Wimmer's going to be thinking, I didn't play. I've come to this club and I'm not getting any game time. I'm not playing in the Premier League. I'm not going to displace Alderweireld. But Tongan and him have got a good partnership. When am I going to get some game time? It's a great opportunity to give some of the players who haven't played or are coming back from injury, or even who haven't been quite good enough, to prove themselves, and then he'll have more options in the future. And
to hark back to the FA Cup, I could see it would be interesting to look at the FA Cup team in whatever it is, a month's time.
Yeah.
And then compare it with the team on Thursday. I suspect the team on Thursday, I mean, as Alex said earlier, a lot depends on our form, on Leicester's form, on circumstance, etc. But I suspect that in general, the team that we put out against Leicester in a month is going to be weaker than the one we put out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people would think is balmy, because that Leicester game is a one-off, is a chance to progress in the trophy, we should be winning, we should be trying to win everything we're in, etc. And this Monaco game is essentially meaningless. We've achieved the objective of getting to the next round. But I think that's the way domestic cups in Europe are.
What would you rather win? Europa League or FA Cup?
Europa League.
Europa League.
Yeah, I agree. I know it's got the added incentive of the Champions League place, but even without that, I would say Europa League.
There is obviously.
I'd love to go to a European final in, I don't know, the Amsterdam Arena, all these big stadiums, and go away and beat Atletico or even
Dortmund.
Just a Fiorentina. You know, all these Inter have been in it for a few years. It would just be incredible to go.
And actually, the Europa League, as soon as you get past the group and the last 32,
it's all right.
It suddenly becomes a really good tournament.
Yeah, it's best than the rest, but there are some really good teams.
The trouble with it is this group stage, and this is for a different pod or for an article, but wouldn't it be great if the Europa League was formatted in the same way as the FA Cup?
Mm.
Just like a knockout all the way through. Anyone can play anyone.
They can't afford it.
Yeah, they can't afford it. But it would be brilliant if you could... if you could just progress through knockouts and get to the final, it would be such a better tournament.
It would be. I reckon it would get more people in White Hart Lane as well. If you're down 2-1 to Leverkusen or something like that in a really early round, in very early on in the season, like October, and you realise that this is a chance to win a cup, and you go to White, it's just going to be better than FC Traktor from.
Right,
there's also something.
I've got respect for it as well, and I hate how we only win 2-0 against them as well.
We normally draw 1-1.
Why? Yeah, it just bugs me.
There's also something special about winning a European Cup, especially in the history of the club. It would be. Winning the FA Cup, you look back at the winners and you think, oh, Portsmouth, how are they doing? Wigan, how are they doing? I don't know if it's not that comparable, but winning a European Cup, your name is huge in Europe.
You're right.
Even ignoring the prestige, when you win a competition in Europe, it's only going to raise the profile of the club, and that's how you attract the bigger players. When we finish in the Champions League, which we'd also be qualified by winning, we could suddenly sign these better players. We could sign these exciting players who made the difference. At the moment, I look around and I think, who would come to Tottenham who's going to make a real difference? And getting yourself established as that, suddenly teams think, oh, they've won a European competition. This is a club that's going place. Hazard, I know that the Europa League is a Champions League, but Hazard went to Chelsea and said, I'm joining the European Champions. I mean, I don't know why you'd rather join the European Champions than join the club that put you in an hour in a hotel room with Harry Redknapp.
Idiot.
How'd that turn out, the Premier League medal?
Look at
the table now, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a weak NASA Chadley.
Just as an aside on that, I think I'd give a limb for Chelsea to go down.
Which limb?
Any of them.
Depends who Graham costs. You could probably get it for a fingernail the way they're playing at the moment.
Well, yeah, but just to make sure, a hand. I'd give a hand.
I wouldn't give a hand.
No, I don't want them to get
I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
I don't even know why I would.
I don't want them to get down.
Mate, for the rest of your, for one season, they'd probably come straight back up, and you wouldn't have a hand for the rest of your life. I'd be gutted about that.
If anyone died if I lost a hand?
No. Well, I would.
Yeah.
But mainly if I lost one.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'd be more gutted if I lost one.
Yeah.
Forget them going down. Imagine if they just escaped and the relief they'd feel at staying up, and you could think, that's what you are now.
Yeah,
you're excited that Jose Mourinho and all your money has kept you in the Premier League.
I want that.
Just.
I want that.
Yeah, I want to keep my hand and have that.
Yeah, I prefer that.
We could shake on it if you still had a hand.
Yeah. What are we doing? Newcastle. Newcastle at home on Sunday. Newcastle obviously just beaten Liverpool 2-0. For me, it felt a little bit inevitable watching that Newcastle game. Yeah. I really did not think that Liverpool were going to turn them over by this 6-7-0 that, you know, they were talking about. Something about it just seemed a bit, almost a bit too obvious to happen. And Newcastle eventually, they were talking before the game about outrunning them and things like that.
Newcastle were on it. They were really up for it.
They were. And Klopp has got Liverpool running some hard miles at the moment. And so for them to recognise that, or for McLaren, to his, you know, to his credit, to recognise that and say, look, if you outrun them, you've got a chance. They gave themselves a chance and they won 2-0. Two pretty good goals as well. The second goal in particular was really, really well crafted. We're a very similar team to Liverpool, in my opinion. I think we've got better individuals, but we are a very similar setup to Liverpool. So, how do you see the Newcastle game going on Sunday? You know, considering we're at home, considering we've just had a what you might call a disappointing draw away at West Brom, and they've had a really uplifting home win against Liverpool. It's changed the dynamic, hasn't it? If I'd have asked the same question on Friday before, you know, the weekend just gone, we'd be looking at a 3-4-0 win, surely. But does it change the dynamic for you? Or
I don't think that the West Brom result is going to play too much part. I don't think it was a disappointing result. I think it was more a disappointing performance. But I actually think that might benefit us. I mean, Dele Alli said after the game, we're disappointed because we know how good we are. Not we should have won the game. We know how good we are.
Yeah.
We can beat anyone. I'd like to think that we'll be all right. Newcastle playing at home, when they're playing well, they are a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah.
When they're not playing well, it's almost as toxic as White Hart Lane can be.
Yeah.
But I would still fancy us. And if they're confident, that only means they're going to come out and attack us.
But we're at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they won't have that behind them. But my worry is that we haven't been quick enough on the counter this season. And so if they are full of confidence, I'm a bit worried how we've struggled to break some teams down. Ericsson in particular, when we've been running, there's been a lot of cutting back and then playing the ball backwards, which we haven't seen in a lot.
Do you think that's to do with him playing on the left and purely because Dembele is in such good form that he has to play at the tip of the midfield three?
I really do, and I think that's also hindered us in the lack of pace. Lamella's not rapid, Dembele's not rapid, and Ericsson's not rapid, and he's also hasn't got the discipline to play left wing. He wasn't marking anyone on the left wing on his side when West Brom scored against us.
Yeah.
And I mean this is a separate point, but I'm just a bit worried about how we're gonna balance having Dembele and Eriksen in one team. It worked against West Ham.
It's a good point, but it is a really good point to raise because there is such a thing as two.
What about having Dembele in the two alongside Dier and having Son back in the three? Who's quicker?
But then where'd you put Ali?
Yeah, Ali's on really on form, but it's a good problem to
have. It's a great problem to have. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud there.
Yeah.
I think we'll do Newcastle, but I think we'll do everyone.
didn't
they have the last win before Liverpool was
Norwich.
No,
they beat Bournemouth away, they got absolutely battered.
Yeah, but the Norwich game, they beat them 6-2 or 5-2 or something.
Oh, and Wijnaldum scored 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, for some reason, I was thinking it was against someone good, not against Norwich.
Yeah.
So my whole point I was about to make is completely void.
Oh, that's about you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mugged off. Nothing to say.
Yeah.
I think we're going to win.
I just think that's
my preview. We're going to win.
Thanks very much. Thank you for joining us this week.
I just think we're still struggling for balance. With Dembele and Eriksen, if we don't play through the team, we're not going to be able to hit them on the counter.
Should we be beating Newcastle regardless of that, though?
That was kind of my point in saying I think we'll win.
Because actually, defensively, they were shit against Liverpool. Liverpool didn't take advantage of all of the openings that they had. They
Moreno
got behind them three or four times. Yeah, Moreno scored.
Should have counted.
What a goal.
There were plenty of times where you, like, within the first 30 seconds they have two corners, I think.
Yeah.
Liverpool. You know, this is a shaky side and it might be a false sense of security, but we've been stung by Newcastle before. I can think of Perez header. Well, and what's it, Amiobi within 8 seconds of you know, the second half. And Remy, do you remember in the AVBs last year? Remy went round Friedel or Lloris or whoever and scored. It was, we've been done by this before, and I'd like to hear a bit of reassurance from you guys that
I think
better than that.
Well, to hark back to what I said earlier, I think we'll come on to, I don't want to do too much on this because we're going to come on to it in the questions and the listener questions, but I think one of the priorities at the moment is not to lose games. That seems to be what Posh has instilled in the team.
Dare is to draw.
Yeah, well, I like to see it kind of more positively that he is kind of building from the back, which is essentially don't lose and you've got a good chance of winning, which is what you were saying. What Mourinho has built.
Yeah, he has.
Tied to winning teams on and as of many other managers. So I'm not too worried. I think Newcastle, they beat Liverpool, but I think confidence is still fragile. I think there's something kind of rotten at the heart of that club that comes from the fact that Ashley essentially uses it to sell Sports Direct merchandise and to promote Wonga.com. I don't think many of the players' hearts are really in it. I think they've got some really good players. Wijnaldum's a really good player.
Yeah,
he's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
He's a sort of modern midfielder. I think Sissoko, when he wants to, can hurt us, but
I'd like to think Rose would.
I think Spurs are going to have too much from at home. What I would say on Alex's point, and going back to the West Brom game, was it was the first game where I really thought we could have used Ben Taleb. It's credit to us that our main central midfielder last season has played like two matches this year and we've barely missed him.
Yeah.
But I thought having him in there, even having that old pivot, Mason and Bentaleb, which I wrote off a few weeks ago, I think it would have had a bit more bite. It would have offered a bit more protection to the back four, maybe, than Dyer and Ali, particularly Dyer on an off day. It'll be interesting to see if he's fit, but I strongly suspect he won't be.
Yeah. I don't see him. Certainly don't see him starting against me.
No, but I think Spurs will have too much. That's my general view.
Yeah, I'm very confident. I mean, we do press like Liverpool, but they were playing Benteke, who is struggling. It's not really playing system. They brought on Sturridge.
Yeah. Liverpool made six changes from the team that beat Southampton 6-1, for me seemed like a major error.
Yeah,
and it was a Southampton side that featured Stephen Corker in it. Who didn't get tight for, I'd say, two or three of their goals as well.
He was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, doesn't sound like him.
Do you remember when he left and it was so sad?
I thought he was alright in that first game. The season before we sold him, he was
fine. Tell you what, people don't give enough credit to AVB for recognising that.
Yeah, it's worth making.
It's probably a small point in context of AVB's wider... you know, his whole reign, but yeah, I think we were playing in that necessity. We played with someone left back, and we've gone back to the AVB pod here. Anything else on Newcastle, do you think? If we touched on that thing of Amiobi scoring after 8 seconds of the second half last season, we're such a different team, aren't we? I'm setting myself up for an 7 second goal here.
It was going around Twitter, the team sheet from West Brom, the last time we played West Brom, or at least the home game we played against West Brom last year. And it was Adebayor, Kapu, Kabul were our spine, Chiriches played centre half, Dyer played right back, I think. Our bench was like Paulinho. Norton might have played actually, but our bench was like Paulinho, Soldado. It was rank basically. Yeah. The whole thing was rank. So from that game, we've come such a long way.
Yeah.
I think from the Newcastle game,
as well. I think Andy Boyle would have started.
That was his last league goal. Newcastle at home.
He scored that
goal. Scored a header in the first half.
Really
good goal, actually, yeah. Mm. That was it. That was his last
goal. Yeah, we're a different side, basically.
Yeah.
The only thing I said Newcastle, and I think we should probably smash them, is what three would you play behind Kane? Bearing in mind how Lamella played against Chelsea, or how we played against... He does get
I thought Lamella was
though.
Really bad against West Brom.
It was terrible.
I know he got stuck in, but I thought he was a red card waiting to happen. He was putting his boot
he's
in on
always
the
a red card
floor.
Waiting to happen.
Yeah, but yeah. more than he's ever
there
been.
There was one moment, actually, in the first half where he lost the ball and he started chasing down the West Brom player who won it, and he was just determined to foul him, and he did eventually foul him with a slide tackle.
I totally agree. I honestly think his remit now is that he thinks that he's got this idea that if I work hard and if I make tackles, then the fans will be okay with me, because he must be affected by his first couple of seasons and thinking, you know, this is what people think of me. I'm not going to let that happen. And he works hard and he presses and he does, you know, all the good things that you'd expect off the ball. But it feels like when things aren't going exactly right, which is why after Arsenal, him getting booked and being suspended was a nightmare, because that stopped his vein of form dead. It stopped it right there. It wasn't the case of him being injured. It wasn't the case of him, you know, starting the next game and coming off at half time. It was just bang, that's it. You're out of the team for one game. And 2 weeks is a long time for someone like Lamella, who's built up this vein of form, and now he's trying to do the same thing against West Brom, and it's looking stupid because he was flying around.
But I don't know, mate. No one was great against West Brom.
No, absolutely, nobody was. But
I think it's a bit much to say that his form's gone.
No, I just think that he looks better in a form team.
Yeah. Fair point.
Maybe it's a return to the mean. He has got a medium, hasn't he? And he has been well above that for Tottenham for a while.
To answer Alex's question, Dembele's still undroppable, even though he had a poor first half against West Brom. Eriksen is pretty much undroppable.
Really?
I don't think for me he is, but I think for Pochettino he is.
And that's like even on the left wing. Like you don't
think. I think Pochettino will. Eriksen's probably the first name in the team sheet, along with Kane.
I think Ali and Dembele both ended up on the left wing at times yesterday. Against West Brom as well. I think there was a lot of swapping and change, and I think Eriksen is quite key to that.
I think Eriksen's he's not been at his best, but I still think he's been quietly effective. I saw that he's created more chances than any Spurs player by quite a distance this season.
I think he created every goal against Bournemouth. Like, he won the penalty, it was his pass, he got most of the assists for Harry Kane.
Yeah, I mean, Kane won the penalty, but he
but it was his, it was his ball that put
he's quietly effective, and I would be really surprised if Pochettino drops him anytime soon.
There's a thing as well where people were starting to question him, maybe not this time, a little bit later in the season, sort of this time last year, and suddenly that stat came out that he's run further than any other Spurs player.
Yeah.
He puts in the miles and things like that.
I'm never sure if that stat is that significant, just because I wonder if his running is it useful running? Is it effective running?
That's true.
When it comes from him.
That's true, but as a whole team, if you look at the when we played against Chelsea and beat them 5-3, he ran further than any other player. And you look at how Kane and Chadley tore him to bits down the Lions, and you know Townsend was taking
that game. Actually, I remember that game in particular. He was pulling Matic out of position just dragging him all over the pitch. And that's when Eriksen can be kind of subtly effective and go unnoticed, just dragging players out of position, creating space for Kane, creating space for Ali, creating space for Son.
That is when he's playing Sentry, though.
So I think I would play in the three, Dembele, Eriksen on the left, and Son.
I'd play Son.
I'm going from the start purely. I'd rather have Son on from the start than and Lamella coming on as a sub than the other way around, I think.
I think Lamella did enough coming on against Chelsea that he showed he can be the impact sub. So I probably would agree with you. But I would be interested to see Lamella play centrally. I'd like to see him given the chance.
It's so nice. There's just not an answer.
What
you
answer to think is that,
and when Chadley comes back, that's going to it's going to become even more difficult because you can't rule out Chadley's ability to
what
just
I like
score.
To think is Steve McLaren is having this exact same conversation in his own head right now of what the hell happens? Does he do this? Does he do this?
If you were Steve, would you get rid of that island of hair if you were Steve McLaren?
I would
get rid of it.
I'd get rid of the whole thing.
We had this conversation in my house today. It's like, if you've got an island, do you just shave it and then you've got a dome, or do you keep it, or do you shave the whole lot?
Can you make a successful manager that has got that pathetic a hairstyle?
Alan Pardew.
No, he's got good hair.
Oh, it's on the way.
It's on the way, mate. It's not quite McLaren. McLaren is holding on to that.
I mean, what Martin Yeo was fully bowled, or did he have?
Yeah, he went. Fuck it.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of grey around the sides, but at the same time, who's going to pull him up on it?
Yeah, and no one.
Yeah.
I mean, same as Zidane. It's not like anyone's going to be like, "You look like a monk."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you look like someone I've just taken the ball round. So.
But I guess you don't perceive Zizou as weak, whereas McLaren's not renowned for being strong will.
Well, exactly, that's what I mean.
So
he might gain a bit of dressing room respect. You never know.
That's all it'll take.
These are tiny little details, exactly. Right, listener questions. We've got a few to get through. We had a really similar batch come through when I asked for the listener questions, which, you know, it sort of proves that Spurs fans are kind of, let's say, maybe in the same boat about certain things. But Dan Murphy, I think, summed it up. Dan Murphy at D_Murphy84. As good as our unbeaten run has been, has there been too many draws against teams that we should be beating? So let's think of the draws that we've had this season. So we've had West Brom,
Stoke,
Leicester. Leicester doesn't look like a bad
Everton,
draw.
Chelsea,
Liverpool, and Liverpool. I think that might be it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, so I mean, Leicester are on a hell of a run of form. Going away to Leicester and getting a draw is not the worst result.
No, but it is when you concede within minutes.
I think it was the start of
there's
that.
There's a ladder.
That was the old Tottenham, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stoke should have won, definitely. Chelsea, arguably, if we'd have been a bit more sensible with the squad, we probably could have won that game. West Brom, we discussed. Liverpool was
game.
Yeah, it was annoying, wasn't it? And if that was Rodgers, we'd probably win that 2-0.
Kane had some late chances.
I don't know. Rodgers had the beating of Tottenham. I remember in the build-up to that game, everyone was saying it was such a nightmare for Spurs that we're a bit unlucky with their change of manager. But
he did for Liverpool, but then we were shit when he was.
Yeah, but Rodgers always. Well, even last season when we weren't bad, he still got 6 points off us.
But it's definitely worth putting in that Klopp was, it was his first game, and again, in the same way as McLaren was talking about Newcastle matching Liverpool's kilometres run, this is exactly what Klopp asked for from his team for the game against us. So we've been a bit unlucky. I do understand, and I think there has been quite too many draws in the run that we've had, and it does skew the figures a little bit when you say we've been 14 unbeaten but 7 draws or 6 draws, but
it comes down
to awful, is it? It's, if you're not getting beaten, we've gone away to these teams and we've lost. We lost to Chelsea at home 25 years in a row or something stupid. Liverpool at home, we were losing 3-0, 5-0 2 years in a row. We lost to Stoke last season at home. We've gone away to Leicester. All right, we got a draw, but again, it looks like a pretty decent draw. West Brom, we've lost there before.
I think one of the important things to say is that you get the same amount of points for one win and 2 losses than you as you do for 3 draws and 3 consecutive draws. But for this young squad that's being kind of moulded in Pochettino's image, that is heavily, that has its kind of, has at its core talisman who are like 19, 21, 22, 23, it would be very detrimental to win one and lose two on the bounce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas for them to stay unbeaten in three games in a row, for instance, and get the same number of points, it doesn't affect league position, would be exactly the same place as we were, as we would be had we won one and lost two. But I think in terms of confidence and development, it's a lot more beneficial if we're remaining unbeaten.
Yeah, it's a solid base to build.
Yeah, and Pochettino, from the first moment Pochettino came to the club, I mean, in his first window, he didn't necessarily get it right because he signed Fazio and Davis, who wasn't a first teamer back then, and Vorm, who was obviously a backup. But in his first window, he only signed defensive players.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think Pochettino, from the first moment he came into Spurs, has wanted to build from the back and make Spurs difficult to beat and put the defence first. And now we're seeing that this season. He's got the back four he wants. He's got the defence midfield he wants in Dier, and the priority is not to lose games.
I think that's... We're going to go on to Dav Spurs, because his question is completely valid, just put across in the most Dav Spurs way. I don't... Guys, if you don't follow Dav Spurs, who is at Dav Spurs, then do it immediately, because he is one of the most entertaining people that you can follow on Twitter. He makes no fucking sense, but it's brilliant, and he gets across his point by hook or by crook. I'm going to read out his question in exactly how he's put it to us. Have we dented our attack to shore up defence by playing five defenders, Dier especially at home, Leicester top 32 points? That was his question. I think in amongst that, we're going to pick out the main points, but have we shored up defence at the, you know, at the expense of our attacking prowess, let's say?
I mean, that argument could be made. Dier isn't as creative as, say, if he was fit, as Bentaleb is. But it reminds me of what Zidane said about Makélélé when he was at Real Madrid. You know, you need the engine in a beautiful car, like, for it to go fast.
That's so nice.
To let everyone else play around them, you do need that player. And Dier, especially against Manchester City, Dier let everyone else around him get on and be creative, because he is just a force of nature as a holding player. So I don't think it's too defensive at all. When you look at Man United, who were top of the league, they're winning games by being incredibly defensive and having hardly any chances and winning 1-0. And when we set our highest points tally, we were winning games 1-0 under AVB. So I don't think that it's dense our attack, especially when Dier scores goals as well. I think he's probably chipped in more goals than
Dembele.
Maybe, well, I know Eriksen scored
two. Same amount as Dembele. They both
have
2 league
goals. And so, same as Eriksen then.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
So I think he lets everyone else around him play. He's also a threat from set pieces. We've scored more set pieces than any other club.
That's mental.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, I remember when we scored from a corner, and it was like, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I think Dier has actually just encouraged and improved all the players around him.
Let's do a last question. We have had one from Tetrunk, at Tetrunk. Everyone knows Tetrunk. Had you some sort of magic power, which Spurs result in your lifetime would you most want to change and why? Let's go round table on this. Dan?
Can I be last? I need something, want to think about it.
Yeah. Alex?
Do you already have an answer?
Yeah.
Go on then.
You should go.
Well, my answer is 0-0 away at Aston Villa in Redknapp's final season.
What the fuck?
Because that was the second to last game that we had. If we'd have won that game, we'd have remained third, because Arsenal drew with Norwich that day. If we'd have won that game, we'd have gone third. All we need to do is beat Fulham last game of the season. Fulham had nothing to play for. Martin Jol would have given us the game. I think we know that.
Yeah.
Right? If we'd have beat Fulham, we would have finished third.
But I think
when we played Aston Villa, no, I think that is
You're not thinking of glory. You're thinking of, I don't know.
Could have been glory.
But is finishing the top three glory?
No, but it would have been better than watching Chelsea win the Champions League final and
that was horrible.
I didn't sleep that whole night.
No, exactly. The stories that I hear from that night, people were weeping in toilets. That's the consensus that I've got from that night. It meant that that Arsenal would have been put through what we were put through that night.
That would have been good.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I would...
No, it meant we had to beat Fulham, which there is no guarantee. We're Spurs.
Yes, it was. My nil gave us a guarantee, I'm sure. I'm sorry, we would have beaten them 2-0, which we did. But what Harry Redknapp did was, instead of bringing on Jermaine Defoe with 5 minutes to go, he brought on Scott Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Good hair, though.
Great good hair. Good hair. Yeah, absolutely, but not.
Shout out to Ollie Lister.
Shout out to Ollie Lister.
Very similar hair.
With Scotty Parker hair. That is, I suppose, in context. I suppose, you know, another way to look at it, probably wouldn't have lost the cup final last year, 2-1. Would have been lovely to win a cup final with the team, Pochettino's first season. Would have been so nice to see us win a domestic trophy.
But when Tuchunk says, what result would you most like to change, can I pick any score? Because
yeah,
I think I would have battered Real Madrid
28-0.
Yeah. 7-0 in the second leg and got to the Champions League semi-finals.
Fine.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Think how many advent calendars pieces there'd be on that night alone.
That's fair.
We could do the whole 20.
So what you're thinking is how would this have benefited my website?
Yeah, how would I got more clicks? Click on the website.
Yeah. Do visit the top
one. Yeah.
I think it would be... I mean, the obvious answer to me would be, that this isn't what I'm going to go for, would be the Man City game where we lost 3-2. And if I could just make Jermaine Defoe's a slightly taller, and then we win that.
The spooky game.
We win the league. I'm totally with Spooky there. We win the league.
But
we win the league if Defoe puts that in.
But if you think back to that team, how many of those players did you love or care for the way you care about them now? I have never felt closer to a team. And I don't want to be a club like Man United who has everything, because it goes well every year and every year, so you're just content and like, oh, we've won the league. I like the fact that we've struggled. I like the fact that I grew up Spurs in the 90s and had to watch us lose every week. So now every time we win a derby, it means so much more to me, and I'm so grateful because I don't expect it. And I'm just so thrilled thinking, we drew with Arsenal away. That's fantastic, because I remember what it was like when, if we got a draw at home, it was an incredible achievement. Even if they won the league at our ground, it was an incredible achievement. So the result that I would like to change is none of those, because I love Poch and I love everything that's happening right now. I would change Old Trafford away, Manchester United, beginning of the season, and we would have won that game. They would be worse off. I think we'd be in the top four, and we would also be unbeaten for the season.
You're a fucking legend. I'm going with that.
Incredible. Well, we'll just say with that, the whole growing up Spurs thing, if you want the rainbow, then you've got to put up with the rain.
You know, you said that?
Don't be part
of it. And people say you're just a pet.
Yes. We free-teamed that.
But the game is about glory. Like, you want those moments. You shouldn't just have that entitlement. And I like that we've suffered. Yeah. And we've had to watch it. When we beat Arsenal 5-1, I mean, I said this to you often.
Yeah.
I got a phone call at 4-1 from a friend, a West Ham fan, who called me and said, congratulations, he finally done it. And I told him in no uncertain terms to shut up, and he couldn't say anything. They always come back. Because it was ingrained and entrenched in my system that Arsenal would come back and beat us. And when we beat them, I almost cried, because I could not believe that I'd watched. People were like, oh, you know, it was a B-side, he's playing the kids. I didn't care. Tottenham wanted to be in Arsenal.
I didn't relax in that game until the final whistle.
I didn't play B-side either. Fabregas, Adebayor, Galas.
And you know what? You know what the biggest testament to what Pochettino is doing at the moment at Spurs is that I felt more nervous at 5-1 in that game.
The not one all.
No, and Pochettino's game. I was more convinced we were going to lose the 5-1 at 5-1 than I was at 1-0, even when Arsenal were in the ascendant.
Totally with you.
Fully.
And I think we do need to point, you know, with that, I do think a lot of that stems from Redknapp giving us a little bit of. I'm not his biggest fan, but he gave us that little bit of invincibility of just, all right, well, you do this, we'll do this.
With Redknapp, there was always that frailty.
There was.
What Pochettino is trying to do, and what Dan and Dav have kind of got at, I think, with their questions, and we've tried to get out with our answers, is that it's not lads, it's Tottenham anymore. That's Pochettino's priority.
Exactly.
It's to stamp that out, stamp out that culture. If we have a bad day, we're not losing.
I really want lads.
If we have champions probably beat West Brom 1-0 on Saturday, but fourth place or third place, don't lose that game.
Yeah.
And that's what Pochettino is trying to do. We are not going to lose games when we have bad days. We're a young team, but we're really, really hard to beat.
I like it.
Well, and I love it.
I'd like us to really build something around that lads, it's Tottenham quote. I've said this before, but I'd really like us to own that.
Well,
really own
well,
it.
Like we took back Yid, we'll take back
well, in the same way as City got City-itis. That thing, you know, they want to. I know they, for all the means that they managed to do it with, they claimed City-itis. And made it this typical City.
Yeah.
Typical City thing of just like, and if we went to a cup final with, or any cup final, if we got to the Europa League cup final this season, and we went to the final, we had a surfing banner saying, lads, it's Tottenham.
Yes,
we had a picture of Pochettino, just lads, it's Tottenham. Don't matter if you win, it's us. That is us. It doesn't, like, who fucking cares? It's not about Man United coming to our ground and beating us 5-3 anymore, which is what that quote think stems from, or at least it's Man United coming to White Hart Lane. Lads, it is fucking Tottenham. It is Tottenham. Like,
right, we'll get on
put that on the surface.
Get on to the club, get on to 1882, we'll make it happen.
Lads, it's Tottenham.
Well, Eric Dyer gets that. He said after Man City, when we beat them,
don't like it.
I don't like it when people say bad things about Tottenham. I don't like it. And he fucking gets it.
Yeah, he does.
Give him the other hand.
Yeah. Yeah, when Loris leaves. Anyway.
That was a nice way to finish.
It was a nice way to finish. Let's see if we can get that going. Alex, thanks very much for coming down.
Thanks so much for having me. Long time listener.
First time caller. we'll get you on later on in the season. We try and do a reverse fixture, everyone. Dan, nice to see you, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Get onto the advent calendar.
Yeah, check it out.
Obviously, we've got one coming every single day, but the first seven are already up. Go back and give them a read through. They're nice little snippets from Tottenham history. We had this, like, AC Milan. We had
two on AC Milan away.
We had one on Crouch. No,
we've got Alan Nielsen in the League Cup final. We've got the Chelsea 5-2.
Ricky Villa.
Yeah, Ricky Villa's goal against Man City. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
They're all great. So yeah, check
some really nice articles coming out from like really, really talented writers as well. They've really done well with it. So Paul Robinson's goal as well against Watford. Just some nice moments that we think that they're really represented really well. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for downloading. As ever, give us some feedback. We'd like some more iTunes ratings and feedback. We're lacking on that a little bit at the moment, so it'd be really nice if you can give us that before Christmas. Consider it a Christmas present. Alex, thanks for coming down. Dan, nice to see you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Tom. See you next week for a Newcastle review and whoever we've got.
Southampton preview.
Come on, you Spurs.